Hi and hello, football fans. Your old pal Dave Damashek here. Make sure you check out the Dave Damashek football program. You can watch it on YouTube, NFL.com. You can listen to it on iTunes or Stitcher or NFL.com/podcasts. We look at the world of pro football and the game called life.
The Around the NFL Podcast knows there are 32 teams in the NFL.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and to my right, for the very first time, Colleen Wolf.
Hey, Dan.
Dan, he has to say hi first. I can't.
I know.
And you looked at me, and that's,
you didn't even say,
weird.
What up, boys?
What up, boys?
You got thrown off.
I'm so thrown off by Colleen being to my right. It's just kind of a different spot. Colleen has always either been in the West spot or the Mark spot.
I can't step on Wes's "Hey Dan."
No,
that
it's
is
iconic.
Part, yeah. So I'm not going to do it. You tried to pressure me into it, I think.
That is,
never filled in for Greg before.
I think I have.
But not here.
Maybe not this exact scene.
Greg is like a rock that's been there since last August, basically. So.
Exactly. Greg's still in the motherland, Japan.
Oh.
A land, not his native land.
Not his land.
But his wife, I don't believe she was born there, but her family is from Japan. Maybe
there is a link. There's a strong link between her family and that nation.
Strong enough that they go there on an annual basis, or at least a biannual basis. There was a photo on Facebook. Greg, the music gets more and more ridiculous every time.
Is he coming back?
I think he's coming back, but there was a photo. Japan's interesting, an interesting place. A photo Greg posted of his beautiful little girl, and then with his wife, and then their grandmother or great grandmother, first time that Ellis met the great grandmother.
Oh, generation.
A beautiful photo, but in the back is a TV on, and it's like a completely bonkers Japanese game show.
Greg is totally uncomfortable with us discussing this, I predict.
I just assume that any game show, or really any television, that's my idea of Japanese television. It's just bonkers. It's crazy.
I would love to
do
go
YouTube
to Japan
search.
With Dan. I would love to go there with you and just see what happens.
I would check out Japan.
What is the last non-American country you visited? I'm not including Mexico or Canada.
Rubbing his eye. He's straining right now.
No, I was in the Dominican Republic for a wedding in January.
That's right.
So I've actually traveled abroad more recently than anyone in this room.
I wouldn't call that abroad.
Very cultured. This is the...
Went like 100 miles south of Miami.
I think it's in between Cuba and Florida, essentially.
Good job.
Cuba's closer to Miami than the Dominican is.
Who knows?
Spread your wings, Dan.
It's somewhere in
America. You've got to start small.
Today's a good show. It's pretty good. I like it a lot. It's good because Colleen's here. It's good because there's fun news to talk about. We have a new segment that we took directly from our friends over at the Around the NFL subreddit, which everyone should be checking out. I think they have close to 1,000 group members over there now. We like to use it as a resource, for the show, because we love to be in touch with the listeners.
It's a fun page. They have a lot of really cool little discussions. I was checking it out the other night.
Yeah, so check that out. And don't forget about the iTunes Challenge, #iTunesChallenge. Leave comments on iTunes. Give us some star rating. We're trying to beat the system, take down the giant Apple Corp.
I had my wife look at the subreddit page, Simone, and she at first look, she was like, why are you and Wes and Dan writing so much on it? Because there's these, I guess they're picking like icons or avatars,
right,
of various podcast members' faces. But I had to explain to her that we are not on there almost at all, other than Wes. Wes is a presence.
I wouldn't say
Wes
that.
Wes is our ambassador.
I comment about once a day.
Well, I showed it to my wife. She didn't care.
Well, there was a heavy level of not caring in my conversation too, but there was a moment of interest.
Yeah,
quickly, I think it's great.
Quickly,
a spark.
Quickly knocked out.
Anyway, the subreddit did have the idea, and that we're going to actually talk about it today. Delta Coder was the name of the user on Reddit, and the idea was, if you don't have an NFL team, who would you pick? and perhaps we can help you choose a team. So what we're going to do is go around the old horn here and each kind of nominate a team that would be a good team if you are, whether it's overseas and you're just getting into the game, or if you're someone like Wes who resigned as a fan of a team and maybe he's looking to fall back in love. Wes, you can find love again in the NFL if you open up your heart.
My heart is open.
Okay, good. That's all I
want to hear. I feel like Wes is going to become a Cardinals fan. I can sort of feel it happening.
There are some feelings there. Ooh. There's a tingling sensation.
I like it.
He's crushing.
And it's not going to be a one-night stand. You're talking this is
– I'm not a one-night stand kind of man.
Damn it. So, yes, we will – we will talk about that. We'll also do a bunch of news, and we also we'll have to make it. We're going to make a phone call at the end of the show to somebody who we should check in with. I'll just leave it there.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good. The Irishman behind the glass. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Dan. How are you?
How was your weekend?
Oh, it was very nice. Went to the batting cages.
Yeah.
Yep. Prepping for the softball, which I still have yet to hear about. But
you know, it's become
Is this happening?
Oh, it's happening.
It's happening. It's just, I don't know, the leadership above me, I can only do so much. I have not heard back yet about the softball team that I'll be managing. This is what my mother used to say, and I always sound, it kind of seems like a overtly negative viewpoint in life, but no good deed goes unpunished.
I already love Miss Kansas.
What leadership? You're talking about like the civic organizers? It sounds like you're talking in company. But
in company, shadow league figures that are responsible for kind of getting it off the ground and then, essentially handing it off.
Right.
They have not handed it off yet. Here we are in early April, so, I'm wondering what's going on.
Good
opening day
that.
Already came and gone.
Exactly. So what's happening.
I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss a tryout. That's all.
It's coming, buddy.
Okay, just making sure.
All right, let's do some news.
Show me the money.
A little update on that. A lot of people were asking, is Show Me the Money coming back? Actually, no one has asked. I've thought about successfully bringing back the Dean Scream.
That was successful.
Yeah, I think I'm going to ride out the Dean Scream through the political season at the very least. And then maybe roll out Show Me the Money.
I mean, they're talking about making a sequel to Jerry Maguire. There's whispers about that on Twitter. So
sounds
you could be massively upstaged in your attempt here.
Uh-oh.
I think Colin Kaepernick's trying to help you two bring back the Show Me the Money with his stance too.
Ooh, look at you, Brandon. Pick up the chisels. Colin Kaepernick is still a member of the 49ers, and there is a what amounts to a stare down going on right now with the Denver Broncos. Reported over the weekend that the Broncos and 49ers have a deal in place or something, a structure of a deal in place. The only thing left is the money. Kaepernick, effective last week, his $11.9 million salary for the 2016 season is guaranteed. John Elway and the Broncos don't want to pay him that much. I think they're willing to pay $7 million from what we're hearing, and the Niners do not want to take any of the money back, so they guess maybe Kaepernick takes a pay cut. Should Colin Kaepernick take a pay cut, Mark, to get this thing done and start fresh, or is it time to put your foot down and say, no, I'm not taking a pay cut?
Well, I mean, my take is I know he seemingly or definitely wants out of San Francisco, but Kaepernick at this point is not necessarily even a starting quarterback or guaranteed of starting more than a handful of games the rest of his career. So asking him to take a nearly $5 million pay cut, I think that would be a bad move by his agent just to sit there and let that happen. You've got to let this thing play out a little bit more before you give up that kind of money. He may never see that kind of money again.
The money's guaranteed. I mean, in the NFL, players get cut all the time. Nothing's really guaranteed. I don't know why he would give that up unless he really desperately wanted to get out of San Francisco, because they're going to be on the hook regardless to pay him, whether they're paying him all of it and he's just sitting on the roster, or they're paying some of it and they're just picking up whatever is left over from whatever team is going to pay him. So, I mean, they sort of – the 4.9, that might be best case scenario for them.
He is miserable. He does want out of San Francisco. That's what the trade request was for. And you know what else isn't guaranteed? Happiness. Why be somewhere where you're miserable? You've made $30 million. This isn't us making whatever we're making, worried about losing $5 million. It's somebody with $30 million already made. And to me, don't be myopic. Don't say, hey, I'm going to stick with bad surrounding talent in a franchise that lost all confidence in me. Why not take the long view and go to John Elway's franchise, which is run as well as any franchise in the NFL? Turn your career around, and $5 million will be nothing once you've turned your career around and reestablished yourself.
Let me say this, too, because it's important to have some context about what the $12 million salary, or 11.9, whatever it is, that is not a ton of money for the market for quarterbacks.
No.
Where even an average guy makes about 15, the studs make 20-plus. So, to me, I'm starting, and I know we should have a ton of faith in Elway, even though I don't know if he handled the Brock Osweiler situation the right way. He is really playing hardball here, and if he's not careful, and this thing just never happens because he wants to save the extra $5 million, are you ready to go into the 2016 season as a defending Super Bowl champion with a rookie quarterback that's completely untested, or B, Mark Sanchez, who's a journeyman, let's face it. I mean, that's running a pretty big risk of blowing up your repeat attempt before it ever starts.
Well, or C, Colin Kaepernick, who now that it's March or April, we think we'll go back. We just watched the Super Bowl game against the Ravens, you know, downstairs, and that's a different player. The player of last year is not worth the kind of money he's guaranteed to make this year. But if we talk about Colin Kaepernick wanting to go and be happy and have the long view, I see where you're coming from, Wes. But at the same time, it's for someone that doesn't value you at your current cost.
I mean, he had Peyton Manning take a pay cut, too. And meanwhile, the Mark Sanchez and the team, they're doing things together. They're starting to go through stuff. You have Mark's, I mean, this is like time that Colin Kaepernick is wasting if he is going to make the jump and do whatever is right for his career and himself, maybe.
How about this? John Elway has evaluated all of these quarterbacks correctly, starting with Peyton Manning last offseason, continuing through Brock Osweiler, and now with Sanchez and Kaepernick. He knows that they're not the answer. They're not a solution. They're a patch, and he's got a strong enough roster to kind of carry that quarterback.
If you're a patch, I wouldn't run to Denver with a $5 million pay cut.
I would, because it's a chance to rejuvenate your career, resurrect your career.
Moving on, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, was at a town hall meeting with the Jacksonville Jaguars season ticket holders. I didn't think Rog was that plugged in. He's like going to local town halls.
Yeah. When are you going to do that, Dan Hansis?
I don't know. Maybe soon. The issue of will the playoffs be expanded came up, and this was something that was a hot issue a couple of years ago. Last season they tabled the issue. It didn't even come up at the annual meeting this past March. And Goodell had this to say: could you do it? Yes, you could do it. From a competitive standpoint, our competition committee said we think we can do it properly. We're still looking at the broadcasting side of it, and then there's labor relations side of it too, which you have to deal with the union, but it will continue to get discussion. It will likely happen at some point, but we want to be really cautious because we like the balance we have, and so on. And to me, guys, I love the way things are. And NFL deserves credit for always looking to tweak things and make the game better. Doesn't always work out for making the game better, but they don't just hold things as they are forever. But 32 teams, 16 teams in each conference, six playoff teams on each side. That, to me, works. I love it. 12 teams make it. Why change something that works?
Your Jets could have gotten in. That's why.
That's why.
Here's the argument for it, because it doesn't really change a whole lot if you think about it, because there would still be four division winners in each conference, and then they would just have three wild card teams. So only one team would get that coveted first round bye. So you add one more playoff game, and then it's sort of like, I just don't think it's fair when teams with double-digit wins aren't getting in, and then there's teams by default with 500 records that are playing in the playoffs.
Well, life's not fair.
It's not.
If you look at Goodell's full comments, it sounds like he doesn't want it, but he's acknowledging that the owners do. So it may happen at some point, but he's happy with the way things are.
I mean, what is not just likely but guaranteed is the playoffs are never going to contract. It's fair to say they're likely going to expand, because that will happen at some point.
Make more money.
But you're right. If you look at what he said in it, I almost think the headline is a little bit, it's overselling it a little bit, as Wes mentioned downstairs, because he definitely talks about the competitive balance and the fact that the way it is right now is very attractive to a big chunk of the people in charge. So, you know, this has been on the table for half a decade. It's not about to happen in the next couple months.
Greg Hardy is out of work. Of course, got a second chance with the Dallas Cowboys last year after his ugly domestic violence incident. And this week he had an interview, a sit-down interview, a one-on-one. I believe the first time we've seen this since all this stuff went down with Adam Schefter of ESPN. And he had some interesting things to say, and I guess interesting is one way to put it. Disturbing is another way to put it. But here is what he said when asked if he's ever been physically violent towards a woman. I've never put my hand on any woman in my whole entire life. No, sir. That's just not how we're raised, as you can tell. Like I said, again, it's the Bible Belt, referring to where he grew up. It's just something that I wouldn't even say frowned upon, just something that's non-existent in most Southern homes. Okay, so...
Do you think he's a sociopath? Do you think he he just doesn't think that that happened? Like,
he perhaps is delusional. And I think, listen, if you turn on any show right now, it's Greg Hardy. You know, everybody's getting up on the pulpit and coming down on Hardy. I think we're all in agreement that Greg Hardy's a goon and doesn't seem very bright either. Let's just be honest about that. But so I want to talk about this from a football aspect. The design or the conceit of this interview, I would think his agent was for Greg Hardy to be seen in a better light. And it did not go over that way. He came off very poorly. No one's going to say he came off well at all. And my question is, after it didn't work out with the Cowboys, did this potentially end his career? Was it that bad an interview where teams are going to be totally scared off by this guy?
I think it did. And I think when he was asked, why are you still unemployed? And he said, well, making mistakes and right now having to learn from them. How are you learning from mistakes when, as Michelle Beadle, I love her. She's so awesome. She goes on her own network and says, why did we give this guy a platform for a redemption tour? And he used it to say, basically, my life has changed. I'm a changed man, but I won't even admit what I did wrong. I'm going to show no remorse, no contrition. No repentance.
Seemingly lied.
Not even – he set up for a redemption tour, and he didn't take advantage of it.
I don't know if there's a redemption tour coming for him, no matter whether he gets on a team or not. But in terms, I think we all agree about what he's done and who he is. There's no real even debate there in this room. But the idea of does this hurt or end his career? I mean, if you're going to put a player like this out there and have him answer these questions, if you're his agent and you're his group of people around him, are you going to go through some trial questions, see how you're going to respond? I mean, his own words are the reason that he won't have another job because of what he said. And, you know, he goes and accuses Ray Rice of X, Y, and Z and calls himself an innocent person. I mean, it just feels kind of like the time we live in as much as anything else.
I mean, he's made this bed for himself. Like, he has to lay in it. I hate cliches, but, I mean, this is so true. And I hate the fact that he's still talking about it and that he really is still given the opportunity to talk about
it.
He
is absolutely radioactive right now. And this made it – it was already bad, and now I think it's even worse. I would be stunned if he's on a team in September. Stunned.
I would too. And beyond what happened from the domestic violence angle, we got a window into his viewpoint of women when he shot off his mouth about Tom Brady's wife and her sister. And by the way, Blake Bortles' wife, too. This is how he views women.
All right, so that's what's going on with Greg Hardy. See you later, buddy. In other news, Aldon Smith, who has had his own problems off the field, he has a job. He signed a two-year deal with the Oakland Raiders. Rap Sheet reported Monday that the deal is worth up to $19.5 million with $11 million in base salary with the Raiders. That will be prorated for the games he's eligible for, of course. He'll be suspended for, I believe, roughly half the season for a current run-in, past run-in with the law, I believe, last August. So Aldon Smith back with the Raiders. It was the only place he wanted to play. Do you like the signing, Wes?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. He won't be able to play until mid-November, but I think to me when I look at the difference between a guy like Aldon Smith and Greg Hardy is, to me, it's remorse. And we live in a country where you get second chances. You have to take advantage of them and admit, look in the mirror, change your life. And from what the Raiders are saying, that's what this guy's trying to do. I think it's one thing to make mistakes that hurt yourself, and it's another thing to make mistakes that hurt other people.
Well, I mean, okay, he was also nabbed with multiple DUIs, and that is the reason that he's not Josh Brent or someone else at this point in our conversation is because he's lucky and so are others that he didn't hurt anyone else. But secondly, like he has in the Raiders owner Mark Davis and the Davis family, someone that sees him as a family member. Someone, and you know, you thought this was, the Niners had this stance for a long time. They wanted to see him through everything, and it came to be too much. And he's lucky that there's another team out there that is willing to embrace and give him this chance, because I think probably at least the vast majority of the league would say no to him.
I want to believe that he changed. Like, I really do.
Sure.
I want to see him succeed and learn, and I really hope he does, because honestly, it would be great for him, but it would really be great for the Raiders too, because I really like him, Khalil Mack, Bruce Irvin. I think that could really help that defense.
In other news, LeSean McCoy, the Bills running back, the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office announced
Good heavens.
Monday, I know, that no charges will be filed in an alleged incident involving McCoy that resulted in two injured off-duty police officers in February. A news release stated there is not enough evidence to meet the, quote, legal threshold to issue charges. What do you think about
How?
That, Wolfie?
How is there not? There's a video of it. I mean, one of the police officers was treated for a possible fractured skull. And all of this was over champagne bottles at a terrible club, so to speak, Philadelphia.
This is Connie Fox's neck of the woods.
It is. Yeah. It's a terrible place. It's super, super corny and cheesy. And the fact that they were there to begin with, they should get in trouble for that alone. But
I would love
this.
That.
This is unbelievable. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the Fraternal Order of Police sent out a letter after that, and it reads with some things that I'll show you. But on the back, there is a picture of the Philadelphia District Attorney, Seth Williams, with a giant cross around his face.
The line through it, like the Ghostbusters red
yeah.
circle.
Wow.
And then it says, in caps, Seth, what's the deal? So on it, he says that he caused Seth Williams, a season ticket hunting district attorney
Ouch.
Who refuses
wow.
to do his sworn job. And he also told the cops that you can bet he and his friends will go after you if you are lucky enough to win the fight if you are in this situation in the future, especially
Ooh.
When the National Democratic Convention comes to town.
Wow. Whoa.
Yeah. Wow. And not to mention, he has a point. If you look at Seth Williams' Twitter, which I you guys can look it up
like
online.
Wolf's plugged in.
He has all these pictures of him and Eagles players,
season
Chip
ticket,
Kelly.
Honey.
He always goes on the radio station there.
Mm.
Yes. So you can tell that this is a major, major thing in Philadelphia.
Wow.
I have had a fractured skull.
Have you? Me too.
Yeah.
So, wait. Are we teasing the Fractured Skull podcast coming up later this week?
Did you look like the Elephant Man?
I looked like I had like an egg that you would crack under my skull. I got hit in the head with a baseball bat.
Oh,
and you
mine
can
was
like
football.
Feel it.
How
like,
old
it
are you?
It goes from like my eye all the way
yeah.
to like crack to the back of my skull.
It was
here.
Like,
and if I go, if I like am doing God. A handstand or something, you can see the crack in my head.
Whoa.
It's so weird. Or if I get
when
mad.
When did that happen?
If I get mad, it like comes
what?
Up.
The crack, that's kind of badass.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, when did that happen?
Oh, I was like probably 12.
And somebody was doing like a swing. You just walked.
They
right
were
into
practice
it?
Swinging with an aluminum bat, and I was like, "Hey, I'm just gonna, you know, can you hold up a second?" And I don't think she heard me. And
wow.
she was one of the best hitters on the team, and
oh.
she went
oh
back
God,
no. and just cracked right into my.
I am
bat.
Not letting my children out of the
Wes?
House.
Tackle football, 15 years old,
no helmet,
knee to the head,
concussion.
Ouch!
Didn't feel concussed. Just woke up the next day, and there was like an inch between my skin and my skull, an inch of fluid. Look like the Elephant Man.
Well, yes, the Fractured Skull podcast coming up later this summer. And by the way, Shady McCoy, stress the word shady, not out of the woods in the NFL because he could still face a discipline, including a suspension under the league's policy for, what is it, behavioral or what is the?
Personal conduct.
Personal conduct. Thank you, guys.
Something Orwellian.
So we'll see what happens with that. But LeSean McCoy will not be facing charges. Finally, let's move off the blotter page. Big Ben Roethlisberger, Steelers quarterback. Well, he's had his issues as well, but let's talk about
oh my
football.
God, this podcast.
Very grim.
The off season.
He has, you know, Wes. I don't know if anybody's noticed. Wes's body is tighter than it's been in several years.
Dan has noticed.
It is great. He's fitting into clothes that were in his closet for months and months. He is looking better than ever, 40 and feeling fresh. Right?
42.
Can you put that on Twitter?
Not looking
like
better
bio?
Than ever, but thank you.
I bring that up because maybe Big Ben's on the Chris Wessling diet because he has lost 15 pounds on a, quote, high cardio workout plan. He's always been a big boy, as we know. But maybe he got a little too big last year when he had a bunch of injuries. He was not able to work out at all, really. So I don't know if the team said, "Hey Ben, let's cut back a little bit," or he made the decision to limber up. He's getting a little older now. He's 34 years old. He has shed 15 pounds. Wes, I would like to drop some weight. So take me through your plan for weight loss in 2016.
I didn't really have a plan. As you know, I tore my rotator cuff.
Yes.
When I moved to L.A., I was in the best shape I had been in since my mid-20s. And then I tore my rotator cuff playing softball and could not lift weights for a year and a half. So I put on weight, and now I'm just lifting weights again and working out.
I mean, you're now almost exploding out of that shirt for different reasons. What a body.
Don't make Patrick jealous.
I think that's happened. You have made Patrick jealous.
Uh-oh.
This is going to be on Patrick's whiteboard.
Dan has a new male obsession. Person's body to, you know, take notes on and comment on.
Well, here's the thing. Like, Wes is right next to me all the time. Patrick, I only get to see every once in a while and on Facebook and Twitter. Anyway, body update right
wow.
there.
Wow. Big Ben losing 15 pounds. I mean, like, he's a huge dude.
He's a big boy.
Like 15 pounds, is that really?
I'm not sure.
No, on a guy like him?
No matter what he weighs, it always looks like he's got like three extra chins.
It's like, that's Permanente Brothers right there.
Yeah.
Best of all the quarterbacks, a fat face.
Oh, you know, man. don't get personal just because he didn't go to the Browns. You had a chance to get up.
I'm just making an observation. I cannot think of another quarterback that has, at times, as you mentioned, multiple chins like Big Ben. He really seems to fluctuate, become very puffy, and then go back into less puffy nose.
Well, as a fellow puffy person, I'm allowed to.
He's an everyman.
Big Ben is an everyman. Okay. Well, now we're starting to hone in on your definition of that.
Jeff Cumberland, finally, formerly of the Jets. Cumby has signed a one-year deal with the Chargers. Godspeed, Cumby. Best of luck to you. I like that. It's a good landing spot for you to jumpstart your career. And that's what's happening in the news. All right, let's get into it. No sense wasting time. If you didn't have a team, who would be a good team to pick in the NFL today? This is whether you're overseas or you're in America. Or you just, I need a team to follow. It's time. I need a new team to follow maybe. Maybe you divorced your former team like Chris Wessling did. But let's lay out some options to the best of our abilities and our opinions. And Mark, we'll start with you. Why don't you nominate a team to anybody out there listening that needs a team? Nominate one for us.
This was really hard because I want to cling to franchises that have been consistent and good for like the last 15, 20 years, because you know that's going to continue to a large degree. But I'm going to take a risk here. I'm going to go Jacksonville Jaguars for
Whoa.
A couple reasons.
I was thinking about them.
And I'll tell you why. For me, it starts with, do you believe in the owner? Yes, I do. Is he patient? Is he
willing
to
see
the
owner?
Because, like I just said, I think he's patient. I think that he really, really seems to, A, have a vision for where the NFL is going, and also enough patience to keep his coach and GM around, and we're starting to see the rewards. They have to win. But if you want to jump on a team now, I think if you want to catch the wave where you've got a good young quarterback, a lot of young talent, it might be the right time. Now, 2 years ago, that would have been a rough ride. But that's my thing is get – if you
What
want
was their record last year?
Well, I'm just saying, up until now, it's not what I'm selling. What I'm selling is from here
gotcha.
On down.
And I will say that this about the owner, Shad Khan, he was definitely ahead of the curve with the pools in the stadium. In the second deck.
In all American
what
sports.
What a gimmick that is.
Yeah.
In all American sports, owner is the most important factor.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
That is a bold pick because they have not been successful in many years, but now there is talent there, but we have to see. Because it could just as easily go the other way, where if you pick the Jags and they have another Jag season, they're probably going to fire the GM.
Yeah.
Stability or not, what we've seen in the last few years, they haven't done anything. Fire the coach, and then the quarterback that you're that's promising has a new coaching staff and a new offense to learn. So it's it's a risky move.
It is certainly risky because they haven't proven anything that I've just suggested yet.
Big risk, big reward. I was sort of thinking along the same lines as you with my pick.
I do like, Mark, that you are always Team Jaguar no matter what.
I'm trying, and it was a bold enough pick that I need to get up and leave now.
What?
That is that is a way to go out.
And it's not out of disdain for the show. I have an appointment to get to.
Do you want to give us a little more detail?
Not really, because I'm honestly running late to get there. So I'll provide more detail later.
All right. Well.
Okay, bye, Sester.
There goes Mark.
That's a walk-off right there.
A little walk-off. Gets behind the Jags and walks out.
You know what? There's another point that you can use to defend this pick, too. If you look at the perfect example of just an alien landing and being lucky to get, like, 1971 Steelers would be perfect. They were 0-39 in their history, the worst run operation in the league, and then they go on a dynasty, and they've been great ever since. If you get into the ground floor, like the foothills of a franchise like that,
yes,
you are blessed as a fan.
I think that's the key to this assignment, though, too. It's like getting the team just before, and you need to see enough in the tea leaves to predict it. And you don't want – and to me – and when we get to my pick, I'll get into a little more specifically. But you don't want to pick a team where it's too easy, or you know what? I'll save that for when I get into it. Wes, why don't you go with yours now?
Well, I've got a lot of guidelines here, and you've mentioned a few. Let me go over. First of all, I want a team with some legacy. I would not take the Jaguars because they really don't have any legacy. I want a team with some legacy. The NFL's been around for almost 100 years. Mm-hmm. I want to nod to that tradition. No dome teams.
Gets
rid of about four teams. Bad owners
are out.
Wait,
what about retractable domes?
I'll allow it.
Okay.
So who are we actually ruling out?
Rule out Lions, Saints, Falcons, and Colts.
Falcons have a new stadium.
Okay, so we can
– Colts have a retractable, bro.
But they never open it.
Okay, bro.
What's up with the Vikings' new stadium?
That's going to be retractable.
Okay.
Well, let's not get hung up on the dome, but go ahead.
No bandwagon teams, which means Seahawks and Panthers are out.
Got you. I had the same exact.
That was mine, too.
Yeah.
No irredeemable fan bases, which means the Cowboys are out, and Vikings subreddit makes the Vikings
out. Wow. And obviously the Patriots, they're out as well.
Patriots and Broncos are out because of the throne of ease factor.
Yep.
Right, but also the previous category.
Watchability, Chargers and Chiefs are out. Uniforms, the Buccaneers are out. Watchability, Chiefs and Chargers are out. No New York teams. Because they're obnoxious. Wait,
long is this list?
No franchise.
Wait, does this surprise you even a little bit?
No. No franchise thieves. Like in the night, the Ravens are out for stealing the Browns. Colts are out for stealing the Ravens, or for stealing the Colts from Baltimore.
Gotcha.
I'm down to like 14.
Oh my God.
I'm down to Packers, Cardinals, Bears, and Raiders.
Okay. And your pick?
I'm really tempted to go with the Raiders because of a nod.
That's my team.
No, I'm tempted. I'm going to leave them for you. Because
spoiler alert, sorry.
They have the 70s, early 80s Raiders for a decade are the most colorful team in NFL history to me. They're outlaws living on the edges. So I kind of think I'm a bit of an outlaw. I don't know.
Al Davis
is the most dynamic owner in history. I would love to see like that whole thing come back. The NFL is more fun when the Raiders are fun. But I'm going with the Packers because of their tradition. They're going to be good, and because only in the NFL would a city that has 80,000 people be allowed to survive. And frankly, like Mark said, it comes down to the owner, and the Packers have the best owner in sports, the people.
You just
I mean, that's a great line.
Pen drop.
I mean, it's a great line, Wes, but it's only really – it's like a figurehead, really. I mean, they're not
– Who's their owner?
They have a board.
Right.
And it's obviously well-run, but it's still – you know, it's a board. It's not like literally like – you know, Joe Blow in the bar is like, and this year we're taking a tackle in round two.
Right, but he owns like $1.30 worth of the franchise.
And that's something, Dan.
It is something. Here's why that's a bad choice, Wes. And
I like that choice.
I loved your logic. And I like the Raiders, too. They were a finalist for me as well. So, Colleen, you got to really sell them hard when we get to you.
All right, I'm ready.
The reason why, Wes, that is not a great choice is this. It goes back to the football gods. And you had Brett Favre from 1992 to 2007. And then outrageously, you end up with Aaron Rodgers from 2008 until 2023 or whatever it's going to be. There is just, to me, there's no way the gods smile down upon that franchise for perhaps decades after Aaron Rodgers. They're not going to get another quarterback. It could be forever. They've used up their QB karma.
You know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Thank you for that drop, Brandon.
Everything else I liked about it.
While you believe in the football gods, you know very well that I am football agnostic, and I pay no attention to any of that nonsense.
I believe. Well, maybe this is we're steering into the theology podcast a little bit here, which is coming up later this summer only on NFL.com. But, yeah, I like everything else about it. I just don't know if the gods will gift them another quarterback after Aaron gets old.
I don't know. It's a smart organization, though, too.
It is. It is. And Ted Thompson, I like him a lot. There's a lot of reasons also, to like the Packers.
If you're like an American trying to pick a Premier League team, you don't want to go pick Manchester United. You want to pick an underdog like the city of Green Bay, where football means everything to that fan base.
Yeah, it's true.
Like in New York and L.A., there's so many things to do. Green Bay, you need football.
All right.
Okay.
Wes, it was a good sell. I mean, you fell just short, in my opinion, by completely
oh my God.
Underestimating the football gods. Because I'll tell you who is the team. And I have I have personal experience. I've had a front row seat for my entire life.
Oh, you're going with the Jets?
Of course not. Ground rules, okay? Don't step
on
my segment.
I know, sorry.
Segment,
here we go.
I'm ruling out any team with five or more titles. So the Steelers, the Cowboys, the Niners, out. The Patriots are out because they're the Patriots. So many reasons. The Patriots. I'm ruling out any star-crossed franchise. Basically, if you were a top five team in my pain rankings last summer, you're out. So the Browns, the Jets. Listen, I'm a Jets fan. I was born into it. It's built character in my life, but I would never wish it upon anyone. And I actually had a thought when my son was born in 2014, should I steer him away? I still haven't decided because it's a tough life. So Browns, Jets, Bills, Lions, and Vikings. Do not get behind those teams because there's something in the water with those franchises. Stay off the bandwagon, Wes, just like you said. Seahawks and Panthers, both out. So it came down to two teams for me. The Raiders again, and I won't explain the reasons because, Colleen, I'm sure you have many of your own. But I went with the Giants.
The Giants?
The New York Giants.
Why?
And this
so
is
the
why.
Manchester United of the NFL.
Absolutely not. That would be the Patriots, or obviously Man U in this analogy.
The Cowboys, probably.
Or the Cowboys. Yeah. The Giants have never been a dynasty. The Giants
of course
are a team.
They have.
Well,
under Parcells.
That was never a dynasty. They won in 86
the late 50s
and then in 90.
I don't know.
Anyway, let me just make my point. So what I was saying was I have had a front row seat for my entire childhood and adolescence. Everyone around me was a Giants fan. And I was always jealous because the Giants – they might not be the most exciting franchise, but they have rock-solid leadership. When we go back to the ownership, how they run their operation, and they also have a winning culture. Even though they've never had the dynasty-type runs, they win every 10, 15 years. They've gotten four Super Bowls. They've won. They've been to six. So, and they always seem to be in the mix every couple of years. They're a team they know how to do it. And as much as it bothers me as a Jets fan, I have to say it's a solid fan experience because it's a good fan base, a loyal fan base, one of the historic NFL teams. They've had success, but not in an obnoxious way. And they have ownership that you can trust. So even when Eli gets old and Odell Beckham, goes bolts in free agency, you trust that they're going to put it together. For me, the Giants are really, maybe they're not the most exciting, sexy pick, but the safe pick if you want to have a team to follow. And also, it's a New York team, and it's a beautiful city and a great state.
New York is a beautiful city, but it gives me a rash the way that the media covers all New York teams. And the Giants, since I've been watching football since I was knee-high to a June bug, are the most boring team in the NFL.
They're boring. I mean, it's cold there, so you got to sit through those games.
That's good.
But most cities have,
football should be played in cold weather.
It should, and I agree. But until I went to the Super Bowl this year and sat in San Francisco and watched that game in, perfect weather, I was like, wow, this is really nice. Yeah, but
you're not going to pick your team based on weather,
are you? No, I'm not. Of course I'm not. All right, but my first condition also had to do with bandwagon. I mean, nobody can ever accuse you of being a bandwagon fan if you go with the Raiders right now.
Unless it was the 70s or early 80s.
Right. But right now, is your team that you pick, you can't be a Broncos fan just because they just won, Patriots, all the teams that you had just mentioned. Also, the Raiders haven't made the playoffs in 13 years. Right now, they're building, but it looks like they're going up. And it's like if you all of a sudden hit, and for the first time in 13 years, people are going to go crazy. That's a great team to catch on with.
Yep.
Not to mention, you do have an excuse to come to California or go to Mexico City to watch them next year play the Texans.
That's, I dream about going to Mexico City.
Right? That would be
one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Come on. All right. But the fact that they were 7-9 last year, they weren't terrible. And you're very far away from the Tony Sperano gimmicky things that were going on before. I
buried
the
ball and you buried the past.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't have to deal with that. Plus, you get to wear black. It's good colors. The downside is you have to hang out with Raiders fans. But, you know, I think it'll be okay.
There's some nice Raiders fans. They're an intimidating fan base.
They are.
If you are part of that group, then that's cool.
And I get that being from Philadelphia. It's the same type of thing.
The Raiders, this is what the Raiders have going for them. Cool name, cool fan base.
Great uniforms.
Great color scheme. They're an up-and-coming team. They're not there yet. They seem to have a QB in place. Mm-hmm. Mark talked about the importance of having stability. Certainly you cannot argue that Reggie McKenzie hasn't had a chance to rebuild this outfit. I love it.
I love Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper.
You could argue that they have the most colorful, distinctive persona in NFL history.
The Outlaws, I love that.
Yeah. I mean, we shouldn't confuse Al Davis with Mark Davis.
Right.
A number of levels. I just, you know, so it's not like you're going to assume they're going to be the swashbuckling Raiders of old, but it's still
but legacy's
that
important
legacy.
To me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with my pick.
Hey, you know what else? Legacy? Frank Gifford of the New York Giants.
Love Gifford.
Yeah, remember what Chuck Bednarik did to him? Concrete Charlie? Ooh,
you know
Concrete
what?
Charlie.
Remember that? I do.
You know, the man just passed away.
Arlene's really
too
feeling
soon?
Her Philadelphia oats today.
Yeah,
it's because
really
of Villanova.
I know. I know. So there you have it. Mark nominates the Jaguars. Wes, the Packers. I nominate the Giants. Colleen, the Raiders. But I'll say this. We all had feelings about the Raiders, and I believe Mark did too.
He did.
I feel like the Raiders might be the consensus pick here.
With they were all in our final three, so that's got to count for something.
Well, keep that in mind. So if you are looking for a team and you don't want to be on a bandwagon, you want to get involved with a team with a legacy and some real hope for the future and some badass uniforms.
I'll say this too. Right. If I ever do another long form, I think the Raiders
that would be a really
and the Al Davis years could be
yum
at the heart of it.
I like the sound of that. I would read it.
Yeah.
Al Davis has the best quotes in NFL history. Just phenomenal.
I feel it coming. You got to do that.
Did I ever tell you the story about the owner who set a parrot at the front door of the owners' meetings?
No.
This is when Al Davis was suing the NFL. Another NFL owner bought a parrot, trained it to say, F you, Al Davis.
Wow.
Stationed it at the front door of the owners' meetings.
Wow.
I think we need to do
that.
That
Paul
here.
Brown was a card.
In some capacity.
Yeah, how much is a parrot?
I don't know, but we should do it. Let's all chip in.
I think that's one of the greatest stories in sports history.
I'm imagining that it worked perfectly as well. Like the parrot talked on command.
Oh, yeah.
Said it to everyone that it walked by.
That could be the mascot here. We could just have a parrot in here.
Can you imagine a parrot in a put-down contest with Al Davis?
Oh, my God.
That's
no.
Awesome. All right, before we go, guys, I don't know if you guys caught the finals of the NCAA men's basketball season.
What's that?
That is college hoops. And it was, I know you're not a big fan, Wes, but it was one of the better games in recent memory. Wolfie, I know, as a Philadelphia native, seeing Villanova take the title
that?
For the first time since 1985, a three-pointer, a name that will live forever in Philly sports lore.
Lore, yeah.
Thank you. What's his name again?
Who, Chris Jenkins at the end?
Chris Jenkins, yes.
He lived forever. He hasn't even lived 24 hours.
Well, not from
I love that everybody thought that Ryan Archie Diacono, it was like Archie Diacono, they thought his name was, first and last. Like, not like everybody's like, Ryan, who's Ryan? It was an awesome game.
So it was a instant classic, and unfortunately, if there's a winner in those type of classic games, there's got to be a loser. It was the University of North Carolina, and in a crushing, you know, turn of events and fate, the favorite team, collegiate team, and I believe the alma mater of David Ely, our desk editor downstairs, who the last time we heard from him on this show, you know, it was his beloved Carolina Panthers going down in flames in Super Bowl 50. So maybe we'll – I don't know. Is it cruel to give him a phone call just to see?
He's on a bad run. I think he should just check to see how he's doing. Check
he in. Thrives off the – the attention simultaneously, though.
Okay. So, hey, Irishman, do you think we can get – call down to the desk and let's see if we can get in touch with him. I hope he hasn't left yet for the day.
News desk, Matt Sawicki.
Hi, can we please speak with David Ely, please? Hey, Matt, what's
up? May I ask who's speaking?
This is Dan Hansis of the Around the NFL podcast.
Dan Hansis of the NFL podcast.
Yeah, that's me, buddy.
I don't know that guy. He sounds like a Jet fan.
This is Sawicki. Great. Let me hear your Namath real quick, Matt.
I can't. I'm not going to do that for you. I couldn't care less about that.
Very good. It's one of the
Let
great.
Me get you over to David Ely.
That's Sawicki.
Again, it was Ely who's had an active game.
Wow.
That was
knocked
weird.
It out of me.
David.
Hey, Ely, what's up? It's the old Zeuser upstairs.
Hey.
How are you?
Fine.
Now, it's time to talk about it. Now, of course, Dave, you had the champagne bottle. Take us a little bit through the process last night before Jenkins hit that three.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I was at my apartment, not in the newsroom this time. It was me and two other friends who both went to North Carolina. Mm. And this time it was a little more of a party, so there were some cocktails involved. And there were some nerves, and then we were all standing when Paige hit the three, and we were feeling pretty good about overtime.
Yeah. And at this point, where's the champagne bottle? For those that don't remember, Mr. Ely had purchased the bottle of champagne and kept it in the office, a risky move with HR, to pop when the Panthers won the Super Bowl. He kept it refrigerated, hoping that he could use it for this game. At this point, where is the champagne bottle?
It's in my fridge.
And you're feeling good at this point?
I'm kind of lost. I don't know what to do because it's a nice bottle of champagne. It's sparkling rosé, to be specific. I'm a fan of rosé. I can't help it.
Wait,
wow.
And, okay.
And I don't want to waste it, but at the same time, I feel like it might be cursed. So I don't know what to do with it.
It does feel like a cursed bottle at this point. And we were talking before he called. You know, this isn't a call to rub it in because there's nothing worse than the sports fan that rubs in a loss to a diehard fan. It's more mm-hmm. like, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah. Okay. I guess I feel lost. I feel like things don't make sense. My birthday's on Saturday, so I mean, this put a little downer on the week.
Yeah,
so
I bet.
I'm searching.
Okay, how about this? Do you have any questions, Colleen?
I mean, I am on the complete opposite end of things, so Ely, I'm really sorry.
Ooh,
but being from Philadelphia, it was amazing to see Villanova.
That didn't help at all.
Does that make it worse?
What's the extent of your Nova fandom? Are you
What's that?
From Philly? Like, are
no,
you a Nova
I, well,
fan?
No, well, I covered the team when all of those guys,
deal with that, Ely.
Was a freshman.
It's getting worse.
Wright. I've covered them a couple times in the tourney, yeah.
Okay, I guess that's fine.
All right. And all right, before we let you go, David, and obviously you seem like you're okay, I want you to power rank the following losses, okay?
Okay.
Power rank these losses, one being the worst loss, three being a terrible loss but not the worst.
Mm-hmm.
The Carolina Panthers loss in Super Bowl 50.
All right.
The University of North Carolina's loss in the championship game.
Okay.
And her.
Oh, no.
Because.
Oh, no.
Is this,
no.
Are you talking about the movie Losing the Oscar?
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Let's see. Number one, Panthers, Super Bowl 50. I mean, I was 23 at the time I got dumped, so it's probably for the best.
Right.
So then let's transition to UNC.
But it's weird that you still think about her, right?
Well, I do when you bring it up.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
yeah, we'll transition to last night. It's pretty raw right now. And then, yeah, sure, three. Three can be the breakup.
Well, I don't believe any of that.
I mean, we can. I mean, I might not believe it either, but who knows? Well, that's what I'm telling myself, at least.
And I'll say this too, Ely, and I'm being honest. And Wes, you know this. I like, you know, whatever's good for the podcast. I like to, you know, go down that avenue. So as the game's developing, I'm thinking, oh, it'd be pretty kind of fun to call Ely after another crushing loss. But then I thought about it a little more, and I said, well, but Ely's a good dude, and the Panthers' loss was bad, and you know, the college girlfriend that hurt, and it'd be good if he got. You know, this, but in the back of my mind, I said, no, you know what? This feels like they're going to pull the football on you again. You're going to get Charlie Browned.
Well, sure, I mean, enough. It's not like they haven't won championships in the past, so it's not like I have seen a, okay, a victory before in my life.
Man, and UNC got called for everything. I mean, there were so many fouls.
Wow. Wolfie rubbing it in.
Yeah.
Salt
Look,
in the
Philadelphia, no wow. Philly team wins anything ever, so.
All right, dude.
It's fine. We at least respect Santa and Charlotte.
Oh, Santa.
That's Charlotte. An old bit, Ely.
You know. All right. Dave Ely.
This has been a great chat.
Dave Ely, you'll have to put the champagne on ice. Maybe the Phillies have a big season.
I think we might pull Tony Sperano and bury the ball.
You're going to bury the – ooh, I like that idea.
It's cursed.
Bury the champagne.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't drag it to another important sporting event, please.
No, I think you should travel to a Pacific island and throw it into a hollowed-out volcano.
If I can do it on
From whence you came.
Nine, that's fine with me.
So, yeah, some type of grand gesture might be the best move. But
well, I don't have a baseball team, so at least this summer should be fine.
Oh, you know what you should do? You should travel up to Oakland and literally bury the bottle next to the ball, Sperano's ball.
That's a great idea.
I like that. That might be a good VOD segment.
Good call. Good internal lingo, too. All right, David Ely, downstairs desk editor. Sounds like he's hanging in there after another crushing setback personally.
You're going to be okay.
Yeah, hang in there,
I
buddy.
Personally,
it gets better.
All right, thanks.
All right. That's it. You, Connie Fox.
I know.
Devilish.
I'm sorry. It was a big night. It was a really good game. I mean, that was one of the best NCAA finishes I've ever seen.
I mean, to be fair, she's waited 31 years for that.
And Drexel's never going to be anywhere in the sporting scene. So, I mean, I have to.
There isn't a lot of success.
Villanova's the only one I can really root for.
You always have Malik Rose.
I love Malik Rose.
all right. Well, congratulations.
I'll take it.
Connie Fox.
All right.
On your big win, the Villanova Wildcats, the 2015 NCAA champions. We will be back on Thursday with our second show of the week. I don't know what the show is going to be like. We haven't even talked about it at all, but I'm going to give it a pre-show grade of A-.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah, just you know.
Highest ever pre-show grade.
Yeah, a lot of people are pumped up now thinking about it. all right, that's it. Thank you very much, Connie Fox, for stopping by.
Yes, of course. This was great.
We love having you. You're quite a treat.
thanks.
That was weird.
So creepy.
All right. It's a weird way to end the show.
I know. I feel like my awkwardness is rubbing off on you.
That's you. It's you sitting to my right. It's a little too close. It's changing things.
Are you all right?
I don't know.
I feel like this has been a problem the entire show.
Yeah, it's time. Let's just move forward as one collective unit. This is Dan Hanses signing off for. We're okay, right?
I think we're going to be okay. Thanks.
For the Quiet Storm, the mailman, Connie Fox, the Irishman behind the glass. Till Thursday!